Here we are. Another episode of Four Guys,
One Film.
And today, we watch a cult classic, The Boondock Saints.
Well, I wouldn't say cult classic.
I think it is a cult classic.
Yeah.
I think this is the definition of a cult classic. What are you talking about? But don't interrupt me, all right?
Interrupt me.
Director, Troy Duffy. We got Sean Patrick Flannery, Norman Reedus, and sexy Willem Dafoe. I mean, what else can you ask for? I mean, I have a question. Have you guys seen this movie before?
No, I've always heard of it. But
you've always wanted to see it.
So no,
he's always wanted to see it. What about you,
George? I've seen it once before.
How old were you when you saw it?
Probably like 16.
Oh, 16. Okay, I was a lot younger. So I remember, I think this is the first movie where I saw Willem Dafoe as not the Green Goblin, but like as something else entirely, something scarier.
Is it weird that the Green Goblin got you a hard on at 13 or no?
Well, I think I was about 6 years old when that movie came out. So
it was a sexual awakening, yeah.
At 13. You saw him, and it.
Oh right, and it just changed.
Especially when he went full fucking cross-dressing.
Well, that's the moment I said like that's an actor.
Yeah.
That's the first actor.
Wait.
When I grow up, I want to be him.
Was it the full French just fucking tongue down his throat that got you,
just,
or what
just
got
how,
you?
Bit his fucking lips off and shit.
Have you ever seen an actor commit that hard?
Hey, what's crazy is they had to redo that scene 50 times.
Even though they got to take the first go, but
yeah.
But I think we're getting ahead of ourselves. Yeah, let's save the juice for later, okay? I mean, what can we say about this movie? It's a pretty simple plot. It's kind of like The Punisher essentially, but two Irish dudes in Boston going after a couple mafiosos.
You're right, Irish.
And Norman Reedus with his horrible Irish accent, and Sean Patrick Flannery, who I think is actually Irish.
Yes.
I don't know if it, I would assume so too, but you can't assume nowadays. And they're just going after bad guys, and we got some Memento style scenes in here going back and forth. You know, I know George loved that. Tell me about it, George.
A little bit of Dallas Buyers Club.
It was a very interesting choice having them like relive every single scene
right
through Willem Dafoe's eyes.
Well, you know, that didn't happen. Well, that's what I loved about it, is that it's a little confusing at first, because you're like, wait, what's going on? And then you kind of get used to that scene. And then it kind of pays off at the end, where Willem Dafoe is now part of the action.
He's literally performing an orchestra fucking number.
Yeah, and then he's shooting a gun on his own and then crying.
It's crazy how he's supposed to be like such a good detective, but he's just blasting his gun in the air, being a fucking lunatic.
Well, what's crazy, this movie's called The Boondock Saints. And I think
has nothing to do with the Boondocks.
Right. Has nothing to do with those guys, but I think Willem Dafoe stole the show. Like, I'm more interested in this movie for him.
He didn't steal the show, I would say that too.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know. I know, Isaac, you were kinda hating a little bit.
Man, honestly, it was just like the worst acting I've seen in a long time, right? Like
worse than Mr. Bean's Holiday?
I wouldn't say that, right? But you know how in Tropic Thunder they like to say you just don't want to overcommit to a film or to a role. Willem Dafoe overly committed for this fucking for this monstrosity.
I feel like this role changed him.
He did Men for 3 years after this.
No,
before. In preparation.
Why got Spider-Man 1?
Tobey Maguire.
Tobey Maguire's like, yo.
When did this come out?
1999. They probably filmed like 98.
That's good.
I think though that this film as a whole is very different from action films of its time, of the 90s. Like, I don't know if you can compare this to...
It made fun of them.
Yeah, it kind of did, right?
Oh, holy shit, I can't believe it worked like TV.
Yeah, like, oh, like, get the rope. Oh, fuck your rope, you know?
Yeah. He's like, every guy has a fucking rope.
Yeah, like, it was... what's the word? It was definitely self-aware, but it wasn't so self-aware that it felt cheesy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then I think another interesting character is Rocco. Like, I didn't really like him at first, but he kind of, like, I kind of grew into, like, liking him and appreciating his character.
I was kind of the opposite.
Really?
At first, I was like, I felt bad for him because he's a fucking idiot. But then towards the end, I'm just like, oh, he's insufferable and he's a dumbass.
Yeah.
I argue Rocco is actually the best character in the movie. Because, besides maybe Willem Dafoe.
Right.
Like, but Rocco is the only one who actually has, like, soul. Like, don't get me wrong, you know, Murph and Connor, like, they're cool and all, but they really didn't have any sort of, like, real like motivations besides just
there was no change.
These guys want to kill bad guys for whatever reason. Like, they had no backstory as to what their motivations were. They just had this like prayer that they did every time they killed people,
which was cool.
And they were always like badass, you know. It's kind of like when you watch same thing, like if you watch like a movie with like Arnold Schwarzenegger and he's just Arnold Schwarzenegger and you're just like cool, awesome. But then when you put him alongside someone who's like Danny DeVito and you watch Range, like it's funny how all of a sudden he gets overshadowed and he starts to have to play a funny character too, and he's no longer just a badass. So like this one, you saw Rocco just go from like a really like funny, interesting character to get depressed.
He's a funny man.
And it like he actually showed that range, which I don't feel like everybody else got to show. It was either him or Willem Dafoe that
time. I think Rocco was like the more actual normal human.
Yes.
I think that's what
the one that was fucking up left and right. Yeah, and I think that's why. Oh, interesting. Our producer here has some notes. He says the duo are static characters. Rocco adds flair and energy to balance out. 100% agree. Thank you, Andre.
Yeah, the only one
Thank you, Andre.
Who also just says Willem Dafoe. Paul
yeah.
Parker, and he just goes a completely different direction than I was expecting, but it was fun.
Yeah, yeah. His energy just at the beginning of the film just. It just carries on through, and then it keeps getting better and better, yeah. In my opinion. But, you know, it is. It's problematic, obviously.
Yeah.
I think looking at it in the lens of like today, like his character who is like he's a self-loathing gay man.
Yeah.
And like he's just a dick, you know, and he's homophobic while being a homosexual. Like it's
like Norm MacDonald.
Yeah. That cuddle scene was hilarious. It really was.
What the fuck are you doing? I'm trying to cuddle.
Yeah. And so I kind of wonder, like, did Willem Dafoe read the script and be like, yeah, I gotta fucking do this?
Wouldn't it be funny if Willem Dafoe read this script and it was just great detective? He's like, nah, I gotta add something to it.
I've got an idea.
I have the best idea.
You know what? It's like, knowing Willem Dafoe, I would have doubted it.
Willem DaFreak.
Willem DaFreak, yeah. When you got a hog like he does, you can do whatever you want.
Hey, man, you guys been talking about this hog and I've never seen it. I've Googled it. It doesn't even come.
It's out there.
It's not even hard.
It's out
it.
There.
And
it wasn't even hard when it was huge.
It's in a. You could see it in a film called.
That's crazy. You can watch it. He's doing. He does a theater production.
I think I'm the one that showed you that.
Yeah, that theater production one.
Yeah. Willem Dafoe is just such a great character actor that's been around for such a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, truthfully, I don't think there's much to say other than like how outrageous and funny and problematic but fun this movie is.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't seen it since I was probably 13, but it's one of those movies that I only had to see it once, and I, like, it's memorable, you know what I mean? So, I kind of wonder, like, how do you guys rank this in this kind of, I guess, action genre? Like, it's not really a comedy, I think, but...
I think it's unironically a
comedy. Yeah, I think it's unironically, yeah. I agree.
I mean, you know what? It is shocking. I don't think it's been a long time since I've seen a movie where so many characters had terrible accents.
So bad.
Like, yeah. Like honestly, it really did give me vibes of Terrifier with that.
Yeah.
But like the rest of the acting was fine. It was just the accents. But
they only had a $7 million budget.
That's so cheap. That's so cheap.
They spent most of that money on fucking Willem Dafoe. Probably.
I think on all the fucking.
I also think it's hilarious that Duffy is the last name of the director, and Duffy's also the name of the bad detective.
Oh, it is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I totally forgot.
Him,
imagine.
That'd be awesome.
That would be funny. Well, I just want to ask, genuinely, what are your guys' opinions on this film as a whole? Now that you've finished it, you've seen, Isaac. Actually, I want to start with you because while we're watching the movie, you said, "Oh, like I already know what I'm gonna rate this," but then you know, I think the movie changed drastically towards the end of the film.
Yeah, you hadn't seen Willem Dafoe drag
yet.
Yeah, and I know that bumped it up at least 5 points.
It definitely did. You know, that shit was hilarious.
Yeah, like did you see that coming, Isaac?
I didn't see.
You know
coming.
What? I feel like I saw. When you told me it was going to be something crazy, I imagined something crazy was going to happen.
But not that crazy?
Not that crazy.
Dude, I thought he was going to come in guns blazing, total badass. Like, he was going to be like, he's like, I'm going to save my boys. Like, I'm going to take care of them. But no, he just comes
he
in and he's like full drag and just
fully committed.
And like, the fact that they acted out like that, you know, I thought it was going to be one of those things where like very quickly it was like he turns around and goes, bust it.
Right.
You know what I mean, like he just wanted to make sure that the guy at the door didn't have his gun drawn. You know what I'm saying? No, he had to make out with him.
Yeah.
And have the dude start to whip it out, and it was only because his wig got cut that it stopped.
Yeah, yeah, because you know it's not like there wasn't a 5 o'clock shadow that you could see immediately.
And then Hugh's about to fuck the other dude.
What does that say about the Italian women that they associate themselves with? Italian women are beautiful women, just like all other women.
Right.
But the fact that they looked at him, they're like, "Whoa!" That always brings us a hot box or whatever. I was like, "God damn, he's been lying to you."
Like what? And the guy hadn't been laid in a week, bro.
Yeah.
It wasn't just the old mob boss that was blind. It was every one of those. Folks.
Everybody. Yeah, they just went on like pretending like this was like literally a woman, but clearly not. And I don't know why, but his character here reminded me of him in Beetlejuice. Do you remember when he played
He was the detective, yeah.
He was the dead cop. He was like, "You gotta keep it real." It's the same guy. It's the same guy.
It is the vibe. That, I like that idea that he's just himself from Boondocks.
Yeah, yeah, but like dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they just cut the making out with other men.
Right.
Which
yeah.
Was
yeah.
a fortunate choice, but you know what? It's okay.
It's okay. It happens.
Like, he was like, okay, so what was his plan, though? Just like to fuck him?
No, I think his plan was what happened.
I think he was just planning on letting it go a little further before.
I don't know.
Yeah, he could have stopped that like immediately. He's like, "All right, I'm through the front door. His gun's not drawn. Let me kill these fucks. I'm good to go." No, he's just like, "All right, let's see how far we can push this. Let's see."
You can't say that because like he went fully on the floor and waited to get pissed.
That's what I'm saying. Hear me out. Everything like look, the making out. If that's what it takes, it's what it takes. Him getting him into the restroom with the door closed. That was enough. It was the door closed.
No. He needed the golden shower.
He wanted
to go. He needed
all the way.
The golden shower.
Without
like
the golden shower, there was no way to. Because if he's not holding his own cock, he might still have a hand on the gun.
Yeah.
But he's a genius.
Yeah, he wanted one thing cocked, and it wasn't the gun.
It was not. Exactly. I wonder though, like if the wig wasn't off, how far would he have gone? Because immediately after he was like
not
too far, too far.
Far enough.
Not far enough. You're absolutely right.
Was he not a big actor at this time, or were you just always?
Well, To Live and Die in L.A. was before that. Like he's been doing films, man.
No, I'm not saying that. But like he was in Platoon.
Yeah, that was '86, 13 years before.
Yeah, Platoon was huge too. Like
he was in The Last Temptation of Christ, another good one. I mean, he's got so many good films, but
he was in Death Note.
Yeah.
Speed 2, Cruise Control.
But he's never really been like main star until he got older. I feel like. Yeah, but it was. I feel like even after Spider-Man, that's when he got like more acclaim.
He was in Poor Things.
Yeah.
I think it's a. I mean, you know, our producer mentioned it. You know, he even in Nosferatu, the most recent movie, he's almost always like a vehicle to like deliver plot points.
Yeah.
You know, to give different like aspects and backgrounds and kind of help with moving the story along.
Yeah. Oh yeah, like an American Psycho too. He was also in
a movie called Legends of.
Yeah, because I felt that here too. I felt like he really did do it, like the job of kind of pushing this whole like sainthood.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I think it was interesting. One of the things that I like thinking about, like that scene where the dad, where Il Duce, we were laughing at it because it was funny, and it was like, why the fuck is he?
He's got six guns.
His shirt is like coming off as he's like everybody else is totally fine. He's out here. I think genuinely it was like a little bit like he was not only like romanticizing it. But I think he was like genuinely sexualizing it, like that's my interpretation of like.
Interesting.
He like you know how like some serial killers have like copycat killers who like get crazy and they're like, "Oh my god,
oh yeah,
this is so amazing." Like I feel like he was doing the same thing as far as like, especially after the church scene where he's just talking about, he's like, "I believe in these boys. I believe in what."
Well, they're fulfilling something that he doesn't have.
He has this doubt in the legal system and in the justice system in general, and he sees these guys as basically a necessary evil. And I think that he was having a very visceral reaction throughout the, like at the beginning he was kind of like praising them, and even when he was frustrated at how good they were,
yeah,
at what they did.
But they're really just amateurs getting lucky.
Which is crazy, right?
Yeah, yeah. Lucky every time.
Yeah.
Have you seen the second one, Alexis?
No, I haven't seen the second one. I heard it's not as good. Okay. Cause I don't think Willem Dafoe is in that one. There is no Paul Smecker.
Does Willem Dafoe not ever like? I feel like we always talk about him. Does he never not play a creepy motherfucker?
In the Florida Project, he played the opposite, because he was actually, there's a scene where he tries to stop a pedophile from getting close to the kid. Yeah, it's a really good film. I highly recommend that
one.
He was
definitely a creep in Finding Nemo, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and then, you know, in The Last Temptation of Christ, he plays Jesus Christ. So, you know, I think there's, he plays a pretty good creep and Wild at Heart I'll tell you that.
I feel like he just puts random movies there.
He's just making money, dude.
Sometimes he's just voiceover too.
But see, like we just keep talking about Willem Dafoe, but there's so much more to this movie. But it's just he's just so central.
He captivated the whole audience, honestly.
Yeah.
Because Norman Reedus and fucking Sean Patrick.
Sean.
Flannery.
They were
cool.
They were very like one-dimensional characters, and that doesn't mean that they're bad.
So I know
they're not the
do
same.
You want me to give you the response to the original question you asked me, Alexis?
Yes, Isaac.
This movie, man, did I like it? Right.
I heard you laughing your ass off, dude.
Willem Dafoe going crazy. Yes.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Was it just that scene?
The scene where you bitch slapped that one guy for trying to cuddle, you fucking love that. You ate that shit up, dude. Didn't lie.
We had to watch it like 5 times just for you, Isaac.
Was it hilarious? Yes, and I said it was hilarious.
And then the gay bar scene, dude. Oh my god.
I don't know, man. I give it like in the action genre scene a
5 out of 10.
No, that's
what that's high though. That's high for
that's
Isaac.
You know what?
Isaac sounds confused though, doesn't he?
I know, I don't know.
Sexually?
That's a different question, right? You know, like a
this is awakened something in Isaac that he didn't
know he
had.
I know he did.
He's like,
What do you think, George?
I liked it. I quite enjoyed it. I feel like the action was up to par. It was also making fun of itself a little bit, which is great. And then it's like the fact that the whole thing wasn't too serious, but at the same time, it did have a solid like foundation where they're like, hey, we're trying to do good. Willem Dafoe is just like, I like these fucking guys. They do something I can't do with the
judicial system.
It's fantastic. I liked it. I think it's a very unique type of film, especially for this era.
It is. I think it's kind of one of a kind in that aspect. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I think it is a special little movie.
Now that we're talking about it, I ended up did enjoying the music score because, again,
it was like Matrix-y, right?
Yeah, it was a movie that was kind of making fun of itself, and this was like all the dumb action. You know,
well, they gave
like,
very Matrix vibes. They looked like Neo.
Yeah.
Tom
yeah.
Like,
Mission Impossible.
Impossible Tom Cruise.
Yeah, like every little scene has a little like techno upbeat. Like,
yeah. But like, I wouldn't call this movie a satire on that genre either. You know what I mean?
It's also very hard, you know.
I don't think it should be pigeonholed into satire.
Yeah,
but I agree that it definitely is.
It definitely is satire. like they use a trope like the pretty woman trying to help the heroes or whatever.
Right.
Willem Dafoe trying to be the pretty girl. Apparently
trying.
Succeeding, bro.
Yeah, succeeding.
It's almost like they're getting lucky because of their cause. Yeah. They're like, we got God behind us. Like, we're pretty good at what we do. He's like, but they're not that fucking good. That's ridiculous. We're getting lucky.
Yeah.
Like, the scene where they just get tangled on the string and they're just doing full 360, killing everybody in the first 8 seconds. It's like, come on. That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's
but
pretty good.
It was religious.
Now, 2 things I wanted to ask, too. One, how do you guys think about this whole goof on Detective Duffy? I think, like, I'm used to, like...
Honestly, you deserve it. You'd be a dick.
Well, I kind of like the idea of, like, you know, accountability with cops, you know, and I feel like it kind of does hold that, like, it adds to that whole flavor of why Paul Smecker, at the end of the day, decided that he should be, like, with or for the Boondock Saints. Because if he sees that consistently, the caliber of police doing any sort of, like, detective work is someone like Detective Duffy, he's going to see that these guys are going to get off after, you know, hurting people, after committing these heinous crimes.
Heinous.
So I think that was kind of like a good point to consistently add someone that is bad to kind of help push that, like, there's no other hope we have.
Right. It's the FBI agent that'll save us.
I feel like they spent too much money on this movie.
$7 million? $6 million? Adjusted for inflation, that's probably like 20. You know, something crazy like that.
I don't know, man. How do you spend $7 million on this movie?
I think all the squibs they use, all the blood. You know that dead cat? Remember the dead cat?
That dead cat was fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah. See, that's why I like Rocco's energy, man. He was just.
That was fucked up. That wasn't
necessary. That wasn't necessary.
It wasn't.
Yeah, it was like the Pulp Fiction scene where they're like, oh, fuck, he shot Marvin in the face.
Okay, let's see. Andre, another producer's note. This film made $50 million in video sales after only making $30,000 in 5 theaters.
Oh, wow.
That's a cult classic right there.
People love that shit.
Yeah. See, people missed it.
Straight to DVD special.
See, and that's what, you know, movies could survive like that back then. You know, if they didn't make it in the box office in the theaters, and so, you know what, DVDs got us.
But now it's like Netflix or Prime, and they do that.
Yeah, and they just get, it's all front-loaded now.
Yeah, but the streaming services don't pay as anywhere near as much as DVDs used to.
Oh, this is kind of an interesting note here, too. So, another producer's note. The Columbine shooting tanked the theater release, which is kind of awkward and bad timing for the movie. George, what's your opinion on this Memento style of editing with the action scenes? All right.
I liked it. It was unique.
I know you're the number one Memento fan.
I feel like
fan.
It was really cool to watch Willem Dafoe try to deconstruct it before it was actually shown what happened.
Right.
And it's also funny to see like certain things where he's like, oh, there was clearly a fucking, you know, a gun down with seven men or eight men waiting outside and just one fucking guy.
Right.
And he's like wrong about that, but he's just like,
the one thing
he's so fucking
at.
Over there, like
he's
beating his knee watching
off.
It. Yeah, that he's like loving it. He's basically, yeah. He's conducting an orchestra, like watching it in his in mind, but
yeah,
it's also, I don't know, it's like very artistic and different. So.
I definitely think that's what makes this movie special too.
There's what? Nothing artistic about watching this, it unravel and narrated to us.
This has artistic value, Isaac.
Yeah, I liked how it changed. I like how it wasn't the same the whole time. It started off with like little aspects getting revealed, and then it gave like the whole, like he would reveal the whole crime little by little, and then he knew everything about it, and then he was, like you mentioned earlier, inside the scene. He was actually like, and I think that also went to go like kind of like a sneak peek of the fact that he was already like with these guys. The fact that he was like, I'm shooting with him. He was like living vicariously through it as he was in the scene.
Well, even in the beginning of the movie, he was already on the side of these guys. But like, I don't even think the character could explain to himself why he liked them so much. Because, you know, he caught them.
Yeah, I tell you the reason why.
Why?
They sexed them up when they were talking five different languages.
The polyglot.
That's just how it started. I don't, you know.
Right.
For Will
right.
Defoe's character in this movie.
He was just very impressed by them, I remember, in the beginning of the
He's
film.
Like, you guys are butchers? Why are you guys like, butchers? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That was an accent choice.
Yeah, that was interesting, George. I don't know.
He's like, and you guys are good guys? Love it.
I think this is offensive.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't do offensive things, George.
That's literally what he sounded like.
George, how do you know how he sounds?
Dude, it was all that fucking flamboyant vibe that it was giving the entire movie. It was fantastic.
I think we've been talking about what were you guys' favorite scenes?
There's just so many, and it's all of them are with Willem Dafoe, really.
Of course they're all Willem Dafoe, but like, what is your favorite?
I think it's just the revelation of him showing up as a woman.
That's hard to top. I'm trying to think of
but I think because one part of it is him as a woman, but the other part of it is the men just reacting to him as a woman.
Yeah. And committing.
And committing like all the way. Like that's what really elevates it for me. Anyways.
He probably could have just hired a prostitute for that section and then like, you know, kind of distracted them. Yeah, and came in. But no.
You're thinking too hard.
Hey, that's what Duffy would have done.
Also, did he buy this stuff or did he already have it ready to go?
A good detective
can any type of disguise he needs. And
a disguisey.
When you got the thighs like him, you only need one.
But why the thong? Like, how far was he planning on going?
Hey,
damn.
Bro, he had a fucking thong.
Okay.
It's true, he did have the thong.
It's like, bro, like, no, but think about it. Like,
hey, no,
why would he need the thong unless he was planning on showing it? Like, it was.
He didn't have a thong. He had a lace.
Yeah,
that's what's crazy.
You were lingerie, okay?
Dude, this was Victoria's Secret 1999 fucking summer catalog.
William
Dafoe, that shit would be out, man. That's all. Hold it
up
for dear life.
One nut on each side, fucking look like an elephant ear.
Dude, that guy was so excited trying to put it in him, and then he put one in him.
Dude, there's no way he did.
Oh yeah.
There's no way, man. My shit would have been out and about. It would have been flaming.
I want to see the behind the scenes for this. Like, what? Like, you
I'd kill to be the sound of this movie.
Like, how can you keep a straight face doing this kind of scene?
Yeah, I will
you...
say this movie sounded like it was a fucking fuck-ass time to film.
Yeah.
They were laughing.
Dude, it must have been a blast. It had to have been.
As a role like that, Alexis, somebody approaches you. This is your breakthrough role. Right. They're telling you, "Hey, you have to full drag, full makeout scene."
He was the best known actor in this movie. That's the thing you have to understand.
No, I mean that's the thing though. But that's Willem Dafoe. The motherfucker doesn't care. He's just like, "Run it, let's do it." Whatever.
I think my question to you is, would you be the guy that has to make out with them? Like, if they came to you, like, you have to.
I don't think I'd be able to do it. Go. I haven't seen that guy in anything, and he fucking had to do all that.
Lightning round. Okay, would you do it if it was Brad Pitt?
No, look, it's not about who I'm doing it with. Like, it's more like, all right, why would I do this role unless I know that it's going to solidify my way into, like, maybe other roles.
Well, okay,
so if this is my first role and it's that crazy balls to the wall and, like, maybe it's going to, like, make me somebody, then maybe I'm like, all right, you know what, fuck it, I'll consider it. But if it's a throw up in the air where it's like, bro, if this movie has any potential to flop, no one's ever going to see it and it's not going to get me anywhere, fuck that. I'm not doing it. I'm like, no.
What's the actor
still better mobster than that fucking Italian guy with that fucking accent.
First off, you're right. His Italian accent. Second off, I thought he was doing an extra chromosome accent first.
Jesus Christ.
I was confused where he was going with that until that scene.
Oh my God.
You're not going to believe it.
Hey.
Me and Willem Dafoe, we locked lips.
I think it was more than locking lips, man.
Bro, that was full tongue and everything.
They were crossing legs and everything.
Fucking.
Yeah.
Biting at the lips and everything. Crazy.
Honestly, dude, like, as much as we give praise to Willem Dafoe, we got to give praise to that other guy because he locked in. He committed all the
that
way.
That guy hasn't gotten another role since, and he fucking went in.
He lived his life. He had a good one.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the Letterboxd reviews. Okay. And again, these are random people that we don't follow. So let's get in. All right.
By the way, this is the first podcast of the year.
It is, isn't it?
We're starting off back, boys.
All right, this is by DWays08. The story is not at all multi-layered. It's a basic premise that you've probably seen before, but boy, is it fun. It has plenty of action. Just get your popcorn out and let it hit you. 2.5 stars.
Wow. It sounded like he enjoyed it, but he's also kind of like it's a fucking 2.
Yeah, I think it's like, this is a great movie, but it's a bad one.
I think it's an easy watch. Which I enjoy.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to turn your brain off, kind of just giggle a little, watch some action, and it's good to go.
Yeah, not like Eight Crazy Nights, though. No.
I fucking...
It was so bad. It was so bad.
We didn't talk about it because the audio went out.
Yeah.
We lost 3 fucking podcasts over.
I know. Awful. All right, we need a new technical producer. All right, this one's by Barksky. Didn't think I'd tune in and see Dafoe playing a gay FBI agent, part in drag, acting his heart out, but here we are. 4 stars.
Speaking of which,
they actually saw that today. This is a review of today.
Oh, it's
nice.
This is us in the future.
I might have wrote this earlier today.
This is a role of a lifetime for sure.
No. Now you're backtracking, bitch, because you said it was the best role of his career.
I think so, man.
I don't think so.
I think so. I think he has incredible moments in this film.
I'm not saying he doesn't.
And he's a secondary character.
I think you just really
for sure.
Drag, dude.
I think Fred, if you look at other movies that he's done, this is his worst acting.
No, I wouldn't say worst.
What's the worst acting? Spider-Man played in this.
I don't think Willem Dafoe is able to act badly.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, in terms of him as an actor, I'm not saying he acted bad. I'm saying this is just his worst acting. If you look at all his catalog.
Yeah, he was really good in Platoon. He was really good in Spider-Man. Right. I like those over this. Lighthouse was pretty good too.
I think like in American Psycho, there wasn't much for him to do. I think this as much as we make fun of him playing drag, like he committed. He did a great job.
And I'm not saying he didn't do a great job. I'm just saying in terms of all of the movies ever made.
Yeah,
this is his.
To me, honestly, it's stuff like, let's look at his filmography. What films has he... I've seen so many of his movies. I'm such a huge fan.
4 Things.
Yeah.
Antichrist.
He was kind of funny like this in Kinds of Kindness, too.
It's funny how we did The Last Temptation of Christ and he did Antichrist.
Yeah, I know, right? That is funny.
Like, what a range, dude.
I haven't even finished Antichrist.
Yeah, I think Death Note will probably be his worst.
I just didn't see it. I can tell.
I mean, he was playing a fucking demigod. He was honestly in Speed 2. He was the best thing about that fucking stupid movie. But it was still sucked. But it wasn't his fault. It wasn't his fucking fault.
To keep going, what else? What else?
Oh, yeah, he's in a few Wes Anderson films, huh? Grand Budapest. He did the Life Aquatic.
Wild at Heart, like I said, one of his awesome, more interesting roles. It's very brief, but it's I think it's one of his
best. Oh, shit. He did What Happened on Monday, The Hunter.
I don't remember him. He's always a side character. But in the movies that I've seen, right, I can say that he is. Yeah. This was his worst performance.
I 100% disagree.
You haven't given me a movie that's worse.
I don't like to rank it in terms of worst. I like to rank it in terms of maybe weakest and strongest. But this is not his weakest. I think his weakest is An American Psycho or like Mr. Bean's Holiday, because it's not. It's like a nothing character. You know what I mean? Like, those are nothing characters. This is like, this is pretty meaty. Exactly. Exactly. Like, he's doing something different. I think he's doing something that a lot of actors would say no to.
What about?
I think it's up there. I agree with Alexis. I don't think it's like, I mean, I don't think it's the best like Alexis does, but I think it's pretty good, like, comparatively.
There's only one movie I've seen him in, Napoleon.
Me or Willem Dafoe?
Both.
Wait, which one was Alexis in, Napoleon? Let me check that out.
That's a movie that only Nick and I did.
Yeah, that's a whole movie.
that's a feature film.
Wait, who the fuck filmed this? Oh my goodness,
this is in Arizona.
I'm just mad I'm not included.
Did you pass the fuck out?
All right, moving on. This is by Ty, also a review of today. They said, when your film is kind of mid and needs some extra pizzazz, sometimes you got to go into the pantry and take out the Willem Dafoe seasoning and sprinkle it all over. 3 stars. That's a great point. Wow, good review. All right, last one. This is by Mayday 7390. They saw this film yesterday. There's one real selling point of this movie in this day and age. Gay Willem Dafoe dresses in drag and seduces a Russian mobster. 4 stars. Again, it's just
Italian mobster, so
yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so they fucked up there. They fucked up. And that's it.
Since you chose this movie, what do you rate this movie
at? I'll give an 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10.
I don't need to say any more.
Okay. All right, George, what do you think?
Give it a 7. Second rewatch, I enjoyed it second time around. Do think there's a few flaws, but overall, good movie. Shit off your brain, have a good time, enjoy it.
Shit off your brain.
Yeah, I'm gonna be a little nicer, but not as nice. 7.5.
Okay. 7.5.
It was a fun movie. I enjoyed myself. You know, there's obviously a lot of bad acting too. But
yeah, that's a given with this budget.
I give it a 7.
Wow.
Yeah.
I expected less from you, Isaac.
Again, it was the unironicness of it made it really funny for me, which made it enjoyable.
Yeah.
There was a scene where the funny man was making his funny man joke, and that scene alone gave it a 5 for me.
Yeah,
and the Willem Dafoe drag added 2 points.
Yeah, no, honestly, that scene was atrocious.
It was bad. It was a very, like, racist joke, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, truthfully racist. Because
all the guy needed was the coat.
That's all he needed.
The American.
So if you average it out, we give this movie a 7, which is a lot more than what, you know, critics gave it at the time. Rotten Tomatoes gave it like a 27%.
Are we critics, guys? Are we considered critics?
We're not serious.
We just like movies.
Look, 26% Rotten Tomatoes.
Letterboxd is 3.4
out of 5. We're in the range.
Fuck, 26% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's atrocious.
Rotten Tomatoes? All right, let's see. Let's click on the Rotten Tomatoes. Let's see what people are saying.
It's fucking. These critics don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Why is it so zoomed in? And at the end of the day, you just gotta enjoy it for what it is.
We all like different shit. Just watch the movie and have your own opinion.
Enjoy it.
A movie, critics can hate it, but as long as you have fun at the end of the movie, whether it's like I'm ironically funny.
See, you had a hard time saying that.
Yeah.
But no matter what you do, ironically, I understand what you're saying, Isaac.
Fucking love me, Alexis. You're the sassy coach started the year.
Just no matter what you do, don't listen to Isaac's opinion. He fucking hates everything.
Hey,
all right.
Well.
No, but he likes.
George,
but he likes 8 fucking Crazy Nights. Apparently, that's a fucking movie.
George,
yeah.
All right,
but come on, guys. Did I start this off strong?
What? podcast or the year?
The movie.
The movie was indifferent.
The movie was crazy. That was good.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening to Four Guys.
One film.